This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Boyd to Dickinson at the logo. Pass left side, picked off by Wilson. Wilson versus Dickinson to the hoop, and Wilson with the right hand hammer.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Rockets got away with one. Chet Holmgren is wide open door with a deflection. It leaves to SGA. Behind everybody. 3 minutes left to go here in the fourth quarter. Jay down floats it, and Wallace went for the jam. SGA.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Murray defending and does a nice job to free scoot up the floor. He's got it slap free, but right to Sharp, who will back it over Andre Drummond.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
I was, yesterday I was watching some college basketball.
Look at you, the madness is taking you over too. Have you caught madness fever?
I've caught NIT fever.
NIT fever, baby.
Wake Forest.
Ooh.
Oregon State, collision course.
You guys heading for the NIT this year?
If we're lucky.
If you're lucky. You should be in the NIT, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should be in the NIT. 20-win team, not good enough to be in the tournament. That's like that
How
next
many
group.
NIT, 32.
32.
I don't know if we're in that
well,
next.
Also,
so what is there, 76 that make the tournament, right? Is that what we're at?
68. We have not expanded into the 70s yet.
So
they're,
68.
They're tabling that for the moment.
But you have to think about the power conference teams that lose out on the tournament.
That don't go to the tournament.
They want those more
yeah, but
than they want WCC.
Have you seen there's something new? Fox created their own little 16-team postseason tournament with the
Why?
Power Four. It's called the Crown or something.
Why?
Because nobody cares about any other tournament.
Why would we have another basketball? Another postseason basketball tournament is not something that is necessary.
So it'll be at MGM there in Vegas.
People who keep coming up with spring football. Do you see, by the way, spring football players are now locking out. They're holding out for a new collective bargaining deal. So spring football might not even happen this year.
You mean the
AFL, the USFL, or whatever it is, whatever they call it now. Yeah,
oh, the UFL.
Yeah, the UFL. They might be shutting down.
We're out there on health insurance.
They're out there on the picket lines. Pay us more than $40,000 to ruin my brain.
I think the Beavs get an NIT bid.
I think you're in the NIT.
I mean, I hope they are.
I think you're an NIT team.
Yeah, I know.
Let's finish strong. I think you're in the NIT.
Well, I didn't know about the Crown, so now the Crown's here.
Now you can't go to the Crown, you know.
But I'm watching last night in Durham, the Duke Blue Devils fans.
The Dukies.
They were heard chanting,
one more year, yes. One more year, as Duke won their fourth straight game by 30 points.
They did. Cooper Flagg was pretty good last night, Bob. Pretty good.
They won just, I didn't know this. This is a fun fact. Kind of startling, too. They won just their second regular season ACC title in the last 15 years.
That's a pretty shocking stat.
Isn't that crazy?
If you would have asked me in the last 15 years how many regular season ACC titles have they won,
I would have guessed seven.
Yeah, five or six I probably would have guessed.
Carolina usually is who I would guess in that conference.
For the most part, yeah. Maybe a random other team here or there. But for the most part, I would have said five or six in the last 15.
But he was exceptional. He's been exceptional. Duke blows out a good Wake Forest team. Not great, but a good Wake Forest team.
I want Wake Forest to be 30. Really good again.
I do, too. They're fighting Chris Pauls.
They're one of those teams that, yeah. Like, I want them to be back as, like, a three seed in the NCAA tournament. Come on, Deacons. What are we doing?
I was, one summer, I was roofing, and my cousin, it was his dad, so it was my uncle, was the owner of the business, and my cousin was working for him. My cousin's a little older than me. And me and him were driving somewhere between, you know, one place to another to go roof. And I heard on the radio, old radio,
old
update,
sports talk radio. Is it Jason Swigart with a Sports Center update?
It wasn't. We were in the Seattle area.
Okay.
But one of the updates was the Wake Forest coach of Duncan and Chris Paul. I want to say it's Skip Prosser.
It sounds right.
Skip something.
Riggin should know that.
Riggin
should. I thought it was Larry Odom was their coach.
No, I thought it was like Skip something.
Oh, this is going to be a great opening debate. I'll look it up.
They announced that he had died on a run. He had like a heart attack and he just collapsed and died.
Dave Odom was the coach from 89 to 2001.
So that's not Chris Paul.
And then Skip Prosser took over from 01 to 2007.
So Odom was Duncan's guy. Yeah. Prosser was Paul's guy. Yeah. Thank you.
Skip, both correct.
Skip came from Xavier.
Right. And Skip Prosser was good. I remember hearing that in the car and going, oh, my God.
What?
And my cousin was like, you big Wake Forest fan? It's like, well,
it's kind of random. Not really. But who doesn't like Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons?
I did have a Duncan Wake Forest jersey in high school.
I mean, that's a pretty badass thing you probably should have held on to.
Would have been nice. I'm pretty sure it was a knockoff. I bought it online. Bought it on eBay.
One of those, the shoulder sleeves are just a little bit longer than the normal jersey. It's like, this thing kind of goes over my shoulder blade.
But I was going back to an article I cited on the show. The Athletic did a really good in-depth piece of Cooper Flag and his whole inner circle, and he's living up to the hype. He is having a monster season. He leads his team in every statistical category. It's going to make some teams maybe regret that they're not in a position to draft him
unless he comes back for another year.
So I ask this question sincerely: why not come back for one more year?
Give us another chance, Cooper.
He has a quote in this article where he's basically like, I love college. I'm having a lot of fun being here.
Making a lot of money, I would imagine.
Yeah, do we have a good idea of what his NIL package is?
Well, how he's not, hypothetically, he chooses to come back. How is he not making $4 million?
He would be in every, there's not a lot of college basketball players in commercials, men's that is, but he would be in every one.
He'd be on all that State Farm stuff.
Every single one of them.
He would Gatorade and whatever else.
He would be in every single ad. He's got to be making a decent amount of money.
So the rookie contract is a 4-year, $57 million deal for the number one pick.
Okay, which he likely will be.
He, as long as he doesn't catastrophic injury, he'll be the number one pick.
He will be. So I understand the money. Like Sprague, it's 4 years, and he's going to go to the NBA. He basically says, I love college, I want to come back, but the last 2 years of my life, I haven't been able to choose anything I wanted to do.
Everybody's pulling the strings for me.
He should be a high school senior right now, not in college.
Yes. He just turned 18 in December.
I just wonder I would love to see one example of one guy, and I don't think it's going to be him, that just bucks this trend and was like, no, actually, I'm having a lot of fun and I can make $5 million next year.
This is awesome.
Get all the advertising money and make about $10 to $12 million to play one more year of college basketball. Because, like, why would you want to go? I mean, it'd work out from a hometown perspective, I guess, but like Charlotte.
Is that where you want to go?
D.C.?
No.
No.
He wants to go to Portland next year.
Utah?
When we double down on the tank. Next year's the year we tank. Maybe this is Cronin's master plan all along. He knew Cooper Flagg was coming back for another year. He said, why would we tank this season? Let's tank next year's the year Cooper Flagg's coming out.
You take a leap this year, but next year you get worse?
Next year you get worse. Get rid of some of the vets. Sit a couple of guys. Right. That's the year you sit everybody
down.
Coaching change. Gotcha. All right, now we go get Cooper Flagg. Boom, championship in 5 years.
Well, yeah, it's not the same for sure, but you do see this a little bit in football.
football of guys that could go to the NFL draft. Now that you would easily say, well, yeah, but they're in rounds blank to blank. They come back because they want to go up in rounds blank to blank.
Not a lot of first round picks that come back for another year. It's a lot of guys that are like, yeah, maybe a third or fourth rounder. Could you play your way into a first or second rounder guy?
100%. But I would love to see it happen.
I would love it.
As they chanted, and he jokingly got on the bench, and if you missed it, so the game's over, they're up 30, there's like 2 minutes left. He's sitting down, and he does the Swigard wrap it up, but basically like, run it back. And
come on, baby.
He laughs, and he wipes his face with a towel. His parents are having a good time.
Run it back one more year. Well, it would be great for college basketball to have a guy do that, because it just doesn't happen very often. He is a unique example, though. Because of what you point out, he turned 18 in December. So when did the college basketball season start? October?
November? First week in November.
So he was 17 when the season started.
Yeah.
So if he goes into the NBA draft, which he will this summer, but you know, if he decides, I mean, he would be 18 years old when he's drafted, technically 1 year out of high school. He wouldn't turn 19 until 2 months into his NBA rookie season.
Think about the development, too. Like, he wouldn't have to go through the rigors of 3 months of just, he's not playing great basketball. I really think there's an argument to be made that the college NBA stuff is interesting now because of NIL.
Well, you get
and the older guys are coming into the league.
Yeah, you get to practice a lot more in college.
You
too.
Do.
You only have two, maybe at most three games a week. And then there's also some dead spot, like finals week.
Yeah, like a week off.
Yeah, finals week, like they usually only give you a week, and some of the scheduling quirks, you'll get a week off here. So you get to practice a lot more in college than you do in the NBA.
Just be really cool to see him go to the draft and like, oh, he's still only 19 years old.
After next season, he'd be 19 when he's drafted instead
Isn't
of 18.
Isn't that how old Scoot was when the Blazers drafted
him? Yeah, I believe so. 19's about as young as you usually get. Now, he's a rare occurrence of graduating early and being 1 year. So he's a freak. In that regard,
Ant turned 19 his first year at the Blazers. He didn't play.
Yeah. He came from IMG Academy after 1 year. Didn't even go play college basketball.
Right.
Yeah, I've gotten more into college hoops this year. He's a part of it. Watching Duke games has been a lot of fun, even though the Duke UNC rivalry has lost a lot of its luster, considering where UNC's at. But there's been a lot of really fun storylines. He's near the top of that list. This is the last domino that college hoops needs to fall in order to gain more relevancy, and that is a face of your sport returning for another year.
Like, remember when Caitlin Clark announced she came back.
She did.
And it was like, oh my God. It was a whole year buildup.
And what did it mean for women's college basketball last year? The ratings were through the roof.
South Carolina was good. Angel Reese was back
for another
year.
LSU was awesome again. Yep. Like, it was huge for the sport. If he came back to Duke next year as clearly the face of men's basketball, ratings would be through the chart because everybody knows the name by now. Not as many people. Like, I think sometimes we get in our own little bubble and we sniff our farts here of a guy like Cooper Flagg because we know the name coming out of high school. We know the name when he commits to Duke. But now he's a much bigger deal. And come tournament time, like, imagine Duke goes on a run of the Final Four.
Yep.
And that, you know, you come up just short and he says, I'm coming back for next year. Their numbers would be through the roof at the start of the season.
Well, I would even argue, too, because I think the NBA is bad at this. It's a criticism of the NBA to say this. If he was to get drafted by Washington, how many less games would you see him on television? Because the NBA would say, oh, he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's the great white hope, something they haven't had in a long time.
The next Larry Bird.
Yeah, right. But they give him, what, two national games all year?
That's about it.
So unless you have a league pass, you're largely not going to see him.
Or when your team plays the Wizards randomly twice, that's about all you got that year.
Now, watch him end up going to Oklahoma City because Philly plays their way out of the top six. And anyways, I'm just saying, like, there's a world where maybe he goes to a great team.
To your point, for me personally, if I would watch significantly more Cooper Flagg games next year at Duke than I would Charlotte, Washington, like, who else is up
Utah?
There? Utah. Now,
Toronto.
Maybe if he went to, like, San Antonio, if they lucked their way, they would be on national
TV. What
about
Toronto?
Toronto probably wouldn't be on national TV a bunch.
San Antonio better not win that lottery.
It would really suck, man.
That is unfair.
That would really suck.
That would feel so
that
unfair.
That would require
New Orleans. If he goes to New Orleans, like, I guess it depends on what happens with Zion, but
yeah, but has anything good happened in New Orleans?
No. They don't need another Duke star. The other one is eating his way out of the league. Let's not send him another one.
3-1 seeds are wrapped up, according to Joey Brackets. It's over.
Duke.
Well, Auburn's the overall one.
Auburn.
Houston.
Houston.
Those are your big three. Kansas yesterday in their senior night.
That's your big three.
Those are wrapped.
How did the Johnnies not get the the fourth. What are we doing here?
Yeah, but then Bama, Joey I had a bigger issue with Joey Brackett saying Kansas is probably a 7 seed.
Maybe even a six. I'm out of here.
They don't even deserve a bid right now. They put them in a play-in. You want people to watch the play-in?
Put Kansas
put
in that.
Put Kansas in the play-in game.
Who the hell is Kansas beat this year?
I love the take. You have 68 teams. Unfortunately, Kansas can be middling, and they're going to get in. What are you doing? You have too many teams. That's your problem.
Now we're going to go to 76. Give me 76. God. Give me 84.
Wait for that to get to 84. 84. It's so stupid.
Now we're talking. That's going to take an hour and a half to fill out that bracket.
That's going to be ridiculous. How many play-in factors you have to guess just to get to the tournament?
Just to see the team. Did they actually even make it into the bracket? No, they didn't. I had them winning.
Who is St. Mary's A&M? I didn't even know that was a school.
We got to create them out of thin air just to make up our bracket.
Nah, it'd be cool if he did it. I know he won't, but... Hey, 3-1 seeds are wrapped, and they're one of them. I keep not giving them enough credit, but maybe they'll be able to do it. You don't see freshmen lead the way like that.
Not very often, and he is one of the very few likable Duke stars. There's not been a lot of them over the years, but he's definitely encroached on that territory.
Well, Andrew, we need to embark on our show.
Let's do it.
The journey is going to be interesting. There's a lot to get to today.
Yeah, there is.
Got NFL stuff. Got NBA stuff.
Blazers are going to win the title this year.
We got Blazers stuff. We got Matt Maiocco at 8 a.m.
Do we know which route the parade's going to go down Broadway? Have we planned that out yet?
I think it...
Where it turns,
it's going to go towards Pioneer, isn't it?
Towards Pioneer. It's got to go and then end at Pioneer.
Start at the Moda and then work its way across the bridge.
Yeah. Probably. That would be the best way to go.
Probably follow similar to the Rose Parade route.
Yeah. Where are you guys going to put your chairs down for the parade? You guys know where you want to sit out? Where your spot's going to be?
The bridge would be the coolest just for the viewpoint.
See him going over the bridge, look at the city, weather's going to be nice.
Maybe more in front of the Schnitz.
Oh.
And the Portland sign and get the iconic photo, match it up with 51 years ago.
That's pretty solid. That's a good idea.
How many years ago it is now?
It was a long time ago.
So Maiocco will join us at 8, and we're going to talk about it because he's going to do this to himself and dare to dream. Some AI images came out yesterday, and
let me touch myself. Let me touch myself.
Who sings that song, When I Think About You?
I forget her name.
I Touch Myself. That's dirt with these AI images.
I was so pumped yesterday.
It's a little too Star Trek-y for my liking, to be honest with you. If you want to be in the trust tree, we'll get to
it.
It's a little too fake people.
How do you know it's not going to look like that?
Because I live here.
When they break ground, that's how it's going to look, baby.
Could was the very key word.
Not
would.
It's going to happen.
Pete Rose can get into the Hall of Fame.
That's right, Jason Swigard.
There is hope for us.
You tell him. We got a chance.
So we'll get to that. We're talking about, of course, the Portland Diamond Project. They're back again. Oh, they never give up. And they rope dirt in every time.
Every time, man.
So we'll get to all of that today. Good to be with you. Let's start in the National Football League. We'll work our way to the Blazers. Let's start in the National Football League. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The timing of an announcement couldn't have been possibly worse for this sports team, and it's the second time they've had couldn't be possibly worse for this sports team in the span of 4 weeks. We'll tell you who that is at 6:45.
There's no way things could get worse, right? Oh, wait. No way things could get worse.
I don't even hate them. I just think it's really hilarious how it all just
What's the next domino to fall?
There's the timing of it all.
Every time they turn, there's bad news around the corner.
So Diana Rossini, a few weeks, maybe months?
Weeks?
Had the initial report that the Vikings were going to probably tag Sam Darnold and just say, hey, we have a quarterback for now until we can get McCarthy going.
Makes sense. One more year, McCarthy's coming off the injury. You're not quite sure where he's going to be. Darnold, I know it didn't end well, but had a really good season. Would make sense for 1 year.
That no longer seems to be the case there, Bob.
No, it does not.
The Vikings, according to multiple reports, including one Adam Schefter, are not going to be tagging Darnold. The tag deadline is 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes, it is. It's right around the corner.
So you will not be seeing Sam Darnold get tagged by Minnesota. They are, according to the report, interested in re-signing him. But
that makes no sense to me.
Well, it'd be like a 2-year deal, and it'd be something where, like, yeah, he makes a lot or a decent amount, but...
I mean, I guess it makes sense on a 2-year deal. Why does that make sense for Sam Darnold on a 2-year deal? There's got to be a better offer for him out
Darnold
there.
Needs to get the biggest possible yes. bag now because he just never know if you're going to get another bag.
You're 27 years old. You just finally had a good season in the NFL. Now is your time to cash in.
Although, I would argue you could also say if you were representation of Sam Darnold, couldn't you just point to Kirk Cousins and say, we're just going to have that career? We're going to make $400 million.
2-year deal and then go get the next 2-year deal and the next 2-year deal.
I mean, we can say that that was a one-off and O'Connell's a quarterback guru whisper or whatever, or we could say Sam Darnold's not as bad as the Jets, maybe not as great as this Viking season, and he's in the middle, and that's kind of what Kirk Cousins has been.
And he made a lot of money being that.
He's made a ton of money doing that.
Yes, he did.
So we'll see what he ultimately decides to do, but the intel coming out is two teams more excited to maybe have Sam Darnold in Minnesota could be the Giants, who we know are very quarterback desperate.
Yes, they are.
And the Vegas Raiders. Yeah. And Pete Carroll might say, hey, we don't want to draft a young guy and wait 2 years. I'm 73 now. Let's sign Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold could maybe be the saving grace for the Vegas Raiders.
It would be the comedic level of him going back to New York, and let's say he ends up doing what he did this year with Minnesota to the Giants, and they have a good year, and he plays well while the Jets flounder and look for their next franchise quarterback. The entertainment value of that would be delightful. It makes a lot of sense for either team, depending on how you feel about this quarterback class. And that's the intel that I just don't know. How do the Raiders feel and how do the Giants feel?
not only about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders as pro prospects, but about their chances of getting those guys. The Raiders are picking 7th, I believe, in the first round, so maybe Shedeur Sanders is there when you draft. Maybe he's not. Maybe he goes earlier than that. Maybe they try and trade up. The Giants are drafting 3rd. There's some intel recently that there's a belief that maybe the quarterbacks end up going as the top 2 picks, and it could go Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, depending on
Raiders
the team.
Raiders are 6, by the way.
Raiders are 6, yeah. Thank you. So
Jets are 7.
There's no guarantee that those guys are going to be there when you're drafting for either team, and maybe you like one and he's off the board, or you don't like the other one and he's the one that's there. So if I'm the Raiders, this to me makes a little bit more sense. You got a lot of nice pieces. Your defensive line is solid. You drafted a franchise tight end who seems to be heading towards superstardom in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Let's go get a quarterback. We got an offensive coordinator. We're not in this, like, let's tank for 3 or 4 more years, go through the rebuilding process. We're ready to win now. Not to mention the fact that every other team in your division seemingly has their franchise quarterback now after what Bo Nix did in Denver as a rookie. So it makes sense for either side if you don't like one of or both of the quarterbacks in the top 10 through your pre-draft analysis, interviews, and all of that stuff. And you say, hey, Sam Darnold's 27 years old. He's coming off a 35-touchdown, 12-interception year.
I kind of, too, I was thinking about this last night and reading about the Giants and the Raiders being interested. And we know Pete Carroll is there. One, I said this was, I'm okay with this hire because you didn't get the biggest name.
Mm-hmm.
And you need culture. You don't have it. It's non-existent. And so I kind of got it from that angle. But Pete Carroll's not there to just be rah-rah culture guy. We won 6 games, but man, internally, the vibes are amazing.
Locker room vibes are great.
He's trying to compete in a really hard division. Yep. Denver made the playoffs. Kansas City's in the playoffs. Chargers in the playoffs.
All 3 of them.
You are the last team in that division right now as you sit, and you've not had a good last couple years. Really, since you've been in Vegas, you haven't been a good franchise.
Nope.
And so I look at this and I wondered, Chip Kelly now being back in the NFL and working under Carroll, and Chip has talked about how he's evolved as a play caller. Can Darnold, I have a hard time believing Darnold has exactly the same kind of season as he had last year. Can Darnold beat Will Howard, though, in the NFL? Have a good year and use his leg? Like, Darnold's sneaky mobile.
Yeah.
I think he can move his legs and put some pressure on the defense and, you know, make them have to kind of think twice about things. I think it's a good fit. I do. If they are the team to reach out and give Darnold a contract, I kind of get it. Also, I think they're still in the running to draft Shedeur, despite all of the noise on Shedeur, which I want to talk about at 6:30. But
yeah,
he is a very interesting player. But according to the latest report, Minnesota is unlikely to tag him by the 1 o'clock tag deadline today.
The unique thing about him, and it always has been, is his age. Where it feels like he's been around a long time, because he has. He was his first year in the NFL was 2018, so he's been in the NFL for a minute. He's only 27 years old, and that's just unique. Like, there's guys that come out from, I think Tyler Shuck, who is getting a little bit of buzz out of the combine, mm-hmm. Oregon Duck legend Tyler Shuck, I believe is 25 years old right now.
Are you guys claiming if he sneaks into
You're
the
damn
top
damn right
10?
We are, dude. If he wins a Super Bowl, we're claiming the hell out of that guy. He's 25 right now. That's a 2 to 3 year age difference between a guy you're drafting or a guy who was just top 5 in the NFL in passing yards and top 5 in the NFL in touchdowns.
He's also been on as many teams.
Yes, yes, yes. Guys. They've both been journeymen. I think you hit it perfectly where the truth on Darnold is somewhere in the middle, and you're going to get the extreme takes on either side. He's not a top 5, top 7 quarterback in the league. He's just not. He was in an awesome system.
I don't think we thought that last year. He's had the production of one.
The numbers were there. Yeah. But then when he plays bad at the end of the year, there's a lot of like, see, I told you so, Darnold sucks. It's like, no, you don't go through an NFL season top 5 in yards and top 5 in touchdowns and suck. He doesn't suck. He can be a franchise quarterback. He's just not maybe to the level of a top 5 guy that's going to elevate everybody else around him. There's something to work with there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's attractive about him, especially in a quarterback market right now. We'll talk to Matt Maiocco at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers are in the position of now having to make financial moves to pay Brock Purdy, and that causes people's heads to explode because they don't deserve the money, and how could you give them all that money, and how are you possibly going to do this? This is where the quarterback market is at. Darnold is one of the unique examples where, yeah, there's some baggage there. There's a little bit of scar tissue there. There's really only one good season that he has on his resume. He'll be 28 by the time next season starts. But can you get him for $45 million a year, $40 million a year? Would you rather have Darnold for $40 or Brock Purdy for $60? And that is the interesting debate where I think there's a lot of value there for a guy like this on the open market. We've seen Tampa do it with Baker Mayfield. Seattle's tried to do it with Geno Smith. I think they're spinning their wheels a little bit right now, but they're going to likely bring him back for another year. There's value in these guys that you're picking up off the scrap heap, and you can win a lot of games with them.
I tend to not think Purdy's going to get into the 60 range.
I would hope he doesn't, but
yeah. Went and listened to Mayoko's latest pod on NBC Sports Bay Area. Also seems financially stupid to trade Ayuk. I didn't know the cap implications of it. And so probably today unlikely to trade Brandon Ayuk, and so he may be back next year, but he won't be back until...
Also considering he's off of an injury, too,
an
so where's
tear.
The value on the market anyways?
Right. So we'll see. To no surprise, the Bengals are going to tag T. Higgins for the second time?
No, they're not going to tag him. They're going to get a long-term deal done. They're not going to tag him. That's what they've been saying.
And reportedly are far apart, is how it was phrased, between them and Ja'Marr Chase.
Shocked. I, for one, am shocked. Now, these are open and go. I still think they'll get something done with Chase. Like, you have to be...
They'll pay him.
So incredibly stupid to let that guy walk away.
They'll pay him, right?
The T. Higgins one is a different animal, man. Yeah. There's only so much money to go around, and is he willing to show up if there's not a long-term deal done?
I hate to say this because I think T. Higgins is exceptional at football. Aren't the Miami Dolphins kind of the...
You trade him if you're Cincinnati.
I mean, this goes back to a conversation we broke into during the show of, like, the Miami Dolphins paid Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? And then you like Jalen Waddle. And Waddle's a good player. But like, how did that look last year? When you spent, it's hard to say spending your money on two wideouts is smart.
Yeah.
I think you can make that argument. So
I agree.
They're going to tag Higgins. They're going to kick that can down and reportedly try to reach a deal with Chase. The Eagles released Darius Slay as well.
Yeah, not a surprise there. He's 34, 35, somewhere. I mean, he's end of his career, save a little bit of money, and they drafted two elite corners last year who were outstanding in the rookie season.
And Howie Roseman's already warning Eagles fans, be careful of your expectations this offseason. Like, dude, you just won, and you already are worried about being booed.
That's exactly that. That's how Philly rolls, man. I can't wait for the opener when they get booed off the field because they're losing 10-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
These guys are a bunch of bums!
All right, there we go. Some NFL notes that popped up yesterday. I want to stick in the NFL, but go to the draft. The lightning rod of these guys continues. We'll get to that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. The timing of this pro sports franchise couldn't possibly be worse. We'll get to that. 15-6 in their last 21. That is your Portland Trail Blazers.
That was a pretty solid Mark Mason right there.
Thank you.
I think you could pull that off.
Love Mace.
Could you do that for a night, you think?
I'm going to give you a dirty secret. I've actually, at my house, watching a game by myself,
you do the starting
tried
lines?
To do it.
Yeah.
And I think I would eventually, my voice would tap.
You'd just run out of gas.
Because he's naturally a very deep voice.
You're going to go down low. But you got to give a little effort to go down low.
You also, I wouldn't want to copy his style of doing it.
You'd want to do it your own way, your own flair.
But I've also heard it my whole life, so I think it would just naturally, I would copy it.
It's one of those things when you've heard it so many, it's just ingrained in your brain. That's what a PA guy sounds like.
The Tennessee Titans are currently on the clock.
That they are, Bob.
The number one pick clock is ticking, and yesterday, BetMGM, John Ewing, released the odds, and Cam Ward is far and away the favorite. He's minus 225 now.
He's running away with it currently.
And Abdul Carter's the second at plus 185. Hunter is plus 1,100, and Shador's teammate, 15-1. Jackson Dart is 50-1. I actually think Dart is a sneaky good pick. To put in the top five.
Yeah, for a top five pick. Yeah.
For value, yes. Maybe even the second quarterback taken.
Very well could be.
Might be worth the value. But it's interesting, the Colorado guys, I don't think it's shocking, have become a bit of a lightning rod.
What? No.
With NFL draft conversation.
No, never.
Shador reportedly, according to multiple mocks and people at the Combine, has become the topic of off-record conversation bashing him. Basically, he's not very good.
NFL team saying he's brash, he's arrogant, we've taken him off of our board.
He's not really that gifted. His size isn't amazing. And I see this, and I'm still in my head like, yeah, somebody's going to take him in the top 10.
Somebody will take him. Probably in the top 5, because that's the way it works.
And so Shador is becoming a lightning rod for people to argue about whether or not he's going to be good, as if we know any quarterback that's going to be good in the NFL. And his teammate, was at the podium over the weekend, and this became huge conversation. Travis Hunter, when asked, hey, you play both sides of the ball. How does that compare to a guy, I don't know, like Shohei Ohtani? This is what Travis Hunter said.
Probably me, what I do in football, because it's a lot on your body. You know, Ohtani, he's a great player, but you got to do a lot in football.
I kind of want to pull his Ohtani there and have that be a drop whenever we talk about Ohtani. That's a pretty good Ohtani.
He says what he does is more difficult than Shohei because of the toll on his body.
Yes.
And so this has left all kinds of people in outrage, including former Oregon State wide receiver and Beaver legend Chad Ochocinco, who wants to tell Travis Hunter, no, what you do is tough, but these are actually the two most difficult things to do in life.
The two most difficult things in life are hitting the baseball and keeping a woman happy long term.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He speaks from experience.
He does. It's pretty hard to hit a baseball.
Side note, he is in
the other one
of those,
we're still working on that, you know?
In those housewives shows.
Of course he is.
I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
I have not seen the Ochocinco housewife shows.
So he is at a table. You could look this up and find it on the
internet. Now, is it like a dating show or like him and
his
wife?
It's
or
like the Real Housewives or whatever. It's not his wife. It was his fiance.
Ah.
And I want you to search this out in your spare time. Not during our program, but after. And look up Chad Ochocinco, fiance, at dinner. Whatever that Google search. She is sitting on one side of the table. He is on the other. His lawyer is next to him. Her best friend's next to her. And she is asking for an X percentage of the business that he has. And his lawyer's basically doing the talking. And Ochocinco with glasses inside is not even talking.
Just sitting there.
And she is like, I don't want his money. I got my own business. I want 3%. And the lawyer's like, we can't give you any percent. And he's just sitting there.
What is this, a contract negotiation?
And this is the negotiation.
Is this the prenup?
Yes. This is the prenup conversation.
You know a relationship's going to end well when that's the pre-marriage dinner you're having. Your lawyer is present at the table talking about percentages of a business.
Just like, go Beavers.
Go Beavers.
Go Beavs, baby.
Go Beavs.
Go Beavs, baby.
No, but Hunter becoming...
embrace debate. What's harder?
Incredibly polarizing because of those comments, and Shadur not very well liked off the record by NFL teams.
I mean, it's pretty stupid. It's significantly harder to do what Shohei Ohtani does, I would argue.
His argument wasn't a skill thing. He said, it's harder on my body.
Yeah.
Is he wrong?
I mean, I guess not. But if you're asking the difficulty of the two things, he was asked, what's harder to do? That was the question.
I know, but...
And he said, it's harder on my body. I know. I listened to the answer. He didn't answer the question. He says, harder on my body, which, okay, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, from a skill standpoint, it's not even in the same galaxy between the two of them.
And
it's not even close.
And it's not that Shohei's not just a good major league hitter and a good
He's
major
one of
league
the
pitcher.
Best at both.
He won the MVP as a hitter, quite frankly.
Well, he won the Heisman as a cornerback wide receiver.
Yes, he did.
And the Biletnikoff as a wide receiver.
They're two very similar things to do.
Well, in there.
Pitching and hitting
so far,
have nothing in common.
No, I mean,
there's no skills to transfer to the two of them.
What's cornerback and wide receiver have in common?
They catch footballs. They move fluidly.
Not on the line of scrimmage.
One runs the routes. The other one covers the routes. Very similar.
You know,
just one's going forward. The other one's backpedaling.
What's more? Okay, I put you in a pressure-packed situation. What would you classify as more difficult? Shohei Ohtani up at bat with the game on the line, or Travis Hunter fourth and goal, one-on-one against Ja'Marr Chase? What is more difficult?
From a skill standpoint, hitting a baseball is harder than covering a wide receiver.
The scenario I gave you was Shohei Ohtani at the plate,
not you.
What is more difficult?
I mean, Shohei Ohtani's better than whoever is covering Ja'Marr Chase, so I would say whoever's covering Ja'Marr Chase.
So maybe.
Unless you give me the best corner in the NFL, which I don't know if Travis Hunter is going to be.
Defending Justin Jefferson's got to be a nightmare.
It's not easy to do from any stretch of the imagination.
I would dare make the argument today on a Tuesday. I'll get bold and feisty on a mail sack Tuesday and tell you.
But it also depends on how good your pass rush is or your defensive line.
I'm going to tell you that guarding Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase is almost equal, if not equal, to hitting a baseball. That's how confident in that being difficult, I would say it is.
I mean, they're different things. Like, one's being an elite athlete, and the other one is a specific skill.
Right.
And those are two very different things.
You separate the skill from athlete in hitting a baseball?
I mean, I'm not saying you're not, I'm not arguing that baseball players aren't athletes. They obviously are athletes,
right.
But that's more of a quick twitch, muscle, speed, size, length, those kind of athletic tangibles that you have to cover a wide receiver is completely different than hand-eye coordination, timing of swinging a bat facing a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
So if I gave you just the prereq, I lay it out here, and I tell you, what would you rather do? You say pass rush, Swigard. I'm going to tell you straight up, on this play, you have 2.7 seconds to defend. Actually, let's make it three.
I would rather try and defend. I think I would have a I wouldn't do either.
Right.
I would fail at both.
We all would.
Horribly.
Everybody would, no matter what they're saying in the chat.
But if you said, what's your better chance? I would say it's a better chance in 2.7 seconds covering Jamar Chase than hitting a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even swing
in time.
It would have so much movement, I wouldn't even know it came out. I'm
would,
like, what?
No, you would have no idea. The ball would be by you before you even realize you needed to swing your bat. You have 0% chance of hitting a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. You have a 0.00001% chance that the ball's overthrown and you get an incomplete pass.
I was thinking about this last night, though, because I know baseball is the most difficult thing, but I'm like, dude, I might get more lucky just blindly swinging early and chipping the ball than ever getting a stop against Justin Jefferson in a goal line situation.
You haven't seen my vertical, man. Throw that goal line fade. I'll swat that thing away. Not my house.
I have actually seen your vertical.
Not today.
I need your friend Kevin Cash to send the text.
Not today.
Doing this one. Not Dirt. Today, Justin Jefferson.
There is a photo of you at a basketball tournament.
My house.
Shooting a three-pointer. And your feet are 2 inches off the ground. I've seen your vertical.
Why do I need to jump when nobody's guarding me and it's cash money every time I put it up?
Just pretty sure
straight buckets
said you
is what
the
they
shot.
Call me.
Pretty sure you missed
it. Nothing
shot.
But net is what it was. That's what it did.
What would you rather do? Let me ask you that quick and we'll go. I think I'd rather take my chances swinging at the ball.
You would pee your pants standing in the box.
Oh, I for sure would.
I would rather.
I'd also pee my pants guarding Justin Jefferson.
See, I wouldn't because I don't have to tackle him. If it's a goal line fade situation, he's going to burn me. Like I have no chance
ball.
Either way.
If I put you at the 40-yard line,
this is different. If
you
say, like, if I'm head-to-head with Derrick Henry running at me, I'd probably choose a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. But something that's on the outside where I don't have to tackle him and it's just a
but it's
just,
you on
can
an
I guard
island.
Him?
I think you're overlooking being on an
island.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
do anything. He's
going to
burn me. I have no chance. At stopping him, but there's not going to be no physical harm.
Okay.
Standing in there against a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, I'd pee my pants.
So good take by Hunter. Is that where we ended up at?
No, it's a
no.
Good take.
He didn't answer the question.
I mean, he answered it.
It's more physically challenging in football to do both sides because you have to be in better shape. You have to be strong. Like, there's a lot of physical traits that come with that.
I can't wait to be right about this, by the way. He's not playing both
sides.
No,
he's not going to in the NFL. Maybe a snap here or there, or a series here or there, or a return punt.
And then that's going to fade very quickly in the National
From a skill standpoint, it's not even close.
The timing of this franchise couldn't be worse multiple times in just a few weeks. I'll tell you who it is and what it is next on The Fan. All right, poll questions up. What would you have a better chance at doing? Hitting 95-mile-an-hour baseball or getting a stop against Justin Jefferson? I'll say this as somebody who runs hood to coast. I think most people, their better chance is actually hitting the baseball, and I know it's the hardest thing to do. Your knees would buckle, your ACL would tear, and you'd be the new Kyrie Irving. The minute Justin Jefferson snaps to the out, you would not be able to physically hold up.
I love how this is even, it's not even a debate. Nobody could do either one. They're both a 0% chance.
You're lucky hitting a 95 mile an hour.
No, you can't.
If I told you it's coming straight down in a batting cage.
You don't know it's coming straight down in a batting cage. That's not a realistic thing. Okay, then tell me what route Jamar Jefferson's going to run.
Dude, Randy Johnson.
You can't play that game. I don't know what route he's going to run. He's going to burn me. Okay. I don't know where the fastball is going to be. Is it high and inside?
If I told you the scenario of both, Jefferson's going long and Randy
either
Johnson's
way, I'm still getting burned
right down the middle of fastball.
Not getting ahead. Either way.
No. Foul ball.
Yeah, yes. Sure. Yeah.
The foul would feel like a hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody had to play the other side. This has been kind of, unfortunately, hilarious. The timing of the Dallas Mavericks on things has not been great the last few weeks. They famously traded Luka Doncic for nothing. I know Anthony Davis is in it, great player. But nobody else knew they were shopping Luka Doncic, which made that trade stupid.
They tried to get Ant Edwards, and the T-Wolves were like, wait, what? You're trading Luka Doncic, huh?
They talked to the Bucks about being the third team. The Bucks didn't even know it was a Luka trade.
No.
Like, they did not maximize the value. You can think Luka's never going to win with the Lakers. You maximize your value when you trade it. They did not do that. It was beyond idiotic. And so as soon as they trade Luka, there's these protests outside of the building. First game Mavericks play, Anthony Davis, you're awesome.
He was really good in that first game.
Injured. Yep. Gone for 4 to 5 weeks. Damn it. So it didn't look good. And then Luka starts looking better. Here come the Lakers. The Lakers are now the second seed in the West.
They are.
Holy crap. The Lakers are the 2 seed in the West.
Climb their way up.
The Mavericks play last night. First quarter happens. Kyrie Irving has a knee injury. He Kobe Bryant said he gets hurt. He shoots his free throws. He limps off. He's helped off. They classify a knee sprain. We're still waiting. Could be an ACL. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah.
The timing of the injury could not be worse because prior to that game, earlier in the day, the Mavericks randomly announced that they were going to increase their ticket prices next year after trading Luka Doncic. Our good friend KNC Masterpiece Kevin Hagland over there in Dallas at 105.3 The Fan had this.
Ongoing investments in the team? What the hell does that mean? You just traded away the player that would have landed the biggest Supermax contract in the history of the NBA. What does any of that mean?
It means capitalism, baby. Give us your money, bitch.
And guess what people are probably going to do?
We'll see about
maybe,
this, man.
Maybe this
it's an
one's
8.6% increase in ticket price. The Mavericks announced they're going to increase their ticket prices after trading Luka.
Yeah.
And then 3 hours later, Kyrie may have torn his ACL. Yeah.
What's their attendance been since they traded him?
I don't know.
Because I don't know either. I was just curious if it's fallen. The only game that I remember watching was the first Anthony Davis game. And there was a good-sized crowd, but that was also their first home game, I believe, since the trade. So there was a lot of that weird energy, the booing, the protests, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they're saying,
I'm just curious if it's fallen off the face of the cliff.
Because
people are stupid. Fans are stupid at the end of the day. That's my only. You're not wrong. If I were a Dallas fan and a season ticket holder, I would cancel it faster than I could possibly respond to an email.
Well, your season tickets actually will save you up to 23% in ticket prices from the secondary market if you opt into.
Well, I'm not buying. If I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan, I'm not buying secondary ticket prices either.
They said
saving all my money.
Like if you had like in the low section, courtside seats, club seats, whatever the premium stuff, it's going to go up like between $20 and $25 a seat per game.
I mean that adds up. That adds up over 41 home games.
It's a bad look.
It's a horrible look.
Yeah. And also, this happens everywhere in these sports leagues.
Yes. They're tone deaf over there.
I mean, the Blazers did this when they traded Dame. They upped their season ticket prices. They also asked for renewals before they traded him in the summer. So a bunch of people got roped into buying new season ticket packages. And then, wait a minute, in July, all of a sudden, Damian Lillard's not on the team anymore.
I was wondering when I saw the story, like, wait, our team's kind of red hot. We'll get to them in just a second.
What are their season ticket prices going to look like next year?
Well, what are their regular season ticket prices going to look like if they're, like, a play-in team or just narrowly miss, but they end on a high, like... That's usually how teams capitalize. It's like, hey, you're feeling good? You liking this? All right, $10 more each.
I got a buddy who has company tickets, and my niece and nephew were super into basketball, and I was like, man, it'd be fun. Let's look at the weekend calendar. I had asked him earlier in the season, like, hey, do you got any tickets? You know, what are the games that haven't been claimed? All that kind of stuff. He's like, oh, nobody wants to go. And so I said, okay, this is great. Let me look at the calendar. He said, well, I'm going on a trip, and I'll be back. Check in with me. I checked in with him, and he came back right at the end of that 10 out of 11 streak, and I was like, hey, buddy. This date would work. Any tickets available? And he just responded, was like, LOL, no. They've all been claimed up for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's exciting right now. The timing, oh my God, you could not get worse on timing than they have with the last two big things that have happened with them.
And without Kyrie Irving, all of a sudden, old Dallas Mavericks, 4 games ahead of your Portland Trailblazers.
They are. Deal with a good point on the poll question, by the way. Not sure I can stop Justin Jefferson with a bunt. Touche.
No, definitely couldn't.
Bunt down.
Definitely couldn't.
I mean, you know, it's a bad question, but
that bunt would ricochet off the bat and hit you square between the eyes.
Eddie Kunz went to Oregon State, won a title.
Yeah, he did.
And he was a Major League Baseball player, 42nd overall by the Mets. I faced him in Little League, and I had to bunt.
What was he pumping? 50 miles an hour in Little League, probably?
Whatever the equivalent to 95 was at 10, 11, 12 years old.
I can't hit this!
I was... damn near pissing my pants with just having to bunt because I did not want my finger broken.
Yeah.
But I'd still take my chances bunting than guard Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I faced 95 plus one time in my illustrious baseball career.
Really?
I struck out on four pitches.
Did you?
And I was terrified the entire time. No chance.
You laid off of one of them, huh?
I did. There was one ball. It was easy take. It was outside, so it wasn't even close. It wasn't around me. It was
you
like
didn't come close to contact?
No, not close. I looked at the first pitch strike. I think the second one was a curveball that totally buckled my knees because the first one was 95 plus. Then there was a fastball outside, and I was like, all right. And then the next one was a high fastball, and I swung probably 4 seconds too late.
Everybody should go to a batting cage today and face a 90 and just see what that sounds
damn
like.
Damn it. I just swung when the ball's already in the catcher's glove. That's not good.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Your Trailblazers are red hot and rolling, 15-6 in their last 21. And they won last night. We'll start hour two there. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.